Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Hey, I'm Joe DeCamera.
And I'm John Ritchie. We're the guys behind the 94 WIP Morning Show, the place Philly sports fans turn to every morning.
Eagles, Philly, Sixers, Flyers, if it matters in this city, we're talking about it.
We bring real opinions, smart analysis, and yeah, some chaos too.
From breaking news to big name guests, it's all here.
Whether you're tailgating or stuck in traffic, we've got your Philly sports fix.
Follow and listen to the 94 WIP Morning Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and get new episodes every weekday.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Go Birds podcast.
Come on, Red! Hey, hello. It is the Go Birds podcast. Elliot Chirp Parks, James Seltzer with you. Elliot, feels like for so long we've just come into this room and been like, oh, things are great. This is cool. What a fun team that we root for. Man, to pay attention to the historical greatness that you're seeing and all of it. And less fun.
That's what Zadarius thought, so, apparently.
I will say, and you've been concerned longer than I have, you know.
Yes.
The Zadarius Smith thing is definitely giant flashing red flag light for me.
So
like the fact that this guy came in week two. Says, I got tons of football left in me, guys. Let's go. And has the opportunity to play as much as he wants now. Like, he is like their best edge rusher, full stop. And then
there it is.
And then he's like, I'm out. Oh, it's personal reasons. Don't worry. It has nothing to do with the coming into work in this building every day, which there is no way it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Look, I know he's got personal stuff going on. I know he just broke up with his girlfriend or whatever.
Oh, like, did he? I didn't know that.
I had a caller call and tell me this today. Okay. So he's like, keep this in mind. Yeah. So maybe that's a possibility. I don't know what's going on. But for me, like, and everything that's been happening in the building and the acrimony and all that, like, it's like this guy just walking away. It's like that. To me, it's a really bad sign.
Well, it just feels like something that at the end of the year will go, well, of course.
Yeah, it just feels like a bad sign. Yeah. Like this guy, maybe it's personal stuff, but I think if he were loving coming into work every day and he were like, this is a great situation. What a great team. Let's go win a Super Bowl. And maybe he would retire anyway. We don't know what's going on, but I find it hard to believe that he would have retired if he were going in every day and like, this is awesome.
So I agree with you on
that. Okay.
Like the devil's advocate I'll play. Is he was playing less and less, like his snaps were going down. Maybe he wasn't happy with his role. Like, who knows? Maybe it is truly something where he had to retire abruptly. I will say, like, the retirement message felt very, like, final. It didn't feel like
Feel like he's leaving and then going somewhere
exactly
else.
Right. Like, it didn't feel to me too.
And so, it is possible he came in and was like, my body isn't what I thought it was. This isn't
it for
fun.
Exactly.
I got enough money. Like, I'm good. That is possible.
It's possible. But
I don't think that would happen if they were awesome.
Yes. 100%.
You know, that's all I'm saying.
If he was having a blast
and he's like, oh, we're going to win a Super Bowl. Like, let's go.
Because I'm sure they weren't like, oh, you're retiring. No big deal. Like, I'd imagine they were probably like, look, we don't want to talk you out of it, but you know, like
Could you not?
Like, you want a week off, you know, like you want to come back after the bye. Like, so, no, I mean, it's just one of those things where, like, you get it. And I think it, I'll say this, it definitely caught them by surprise. Like, yeah, I don't think this was a they felt it coming thing. I think Monday morning they were
caught all of us. Yeah. That was one of the
posts too.
Like, yeah, that was one of the more surprising ones I remember in recent times, just because it's a flat out retirement, because he came here seemingly excited to play and all that.
Dude, they gave him Brandon Graham's locker.
I know.
His whole thing was going to be
talking about being leadership. He's like, I'm a leadership guy. I'm ready to come in. And
they hope he didn't influence the players too much.
They want me to come in and be Brandon Graham. He's like, I'm up for it.
Yeah, and he played well to start.
5 weeks later, he's retired.
Yeah.
Look, it's bad. You know, to me, this is bad. Like, again, I don't know. I can't. Look, it's week seven we're heading into. Like, there's a lot of football left to be played. We talked about 2018 where, you know, even percent chance to make the playoffs, they were dead, and then magical things happened and they got in and felt and it felt different for a little bit there. Like, sure, you know, there's a lot of season left, but this is a very concerning moment right now. So, between the Za'Darius Smith thing, between getting blown out by the Giants and looking uninterested in the process, between the AJ Jalen thing, just more AJ being like, I don't even know what you're talking about me. Like, it just there, I don't have a lot, as someone who's generally positive about this group, like, I don't have a lot to grab onto right now.
Yeah. So I'm trying not to be too negative, to be honest. Like, as you said, I've been concerned since training camp.
Yeah, so you are, this is like driving with everything.
This is,
been the one being like, relax.
Right.
And again, I still believe that the first 100% month of the season doesn't prove anything. I'm talking about right now. This is concerning.
I agree. So I think the last 5 days,
it is pretty funny. They went 4-0.
I know. Yeah. Well, and there, you know, it's funny. So last night, I forget if it was Cam Jurgens or my life.
By the way, real quick, before I forget, I would like to apologize to everyone for us talking about the Eagles Bills matchup 2 weeks ago.
Hey, like, you never know. Yeah, they could both be undefeated. Come to Buffalo, though.
Our
It'll
fault.
Be fun.
No,
yeah.
It's still going to be an awesome game. Yeah. We're going. It's going to be great. I'm just saying, like, we were like, could be 16-0.
Yeah.
It's not going to be.
Not so much. Yeah. Well, they have 16 combined wins, by the way. So last night, I think it was Mailata. I'm pretty sure it was Mailata. He said something like he was in a listen to it. It'll be in the feed. He said a bunch of interesting things, but he was definitely in like a bit of a man, like we not a down this. Move, but you know, like they just lost. And at the end of the pod or the radio show, he said something about like how bad they were going. I was like, you are 4-2, you know? And he kind of like laughed.
Sure.
So like there is that element of, as much as I think how everybody feels right now is 100% justified, like they still are 4-2.
I'm
and I can't believe I'm the one bringing up the record right now.
I know.
But like they are still 4-2.
And look, it's funny because they did, like we talked about, I mean, the toughest, like arguably the toughest part of their schedule or
one
of them.
They've had one of the toughest schedules so far.
And also they're like they went 4-0 you know, 4-1 but 4-0 and their toughest games.
Yeah, but the
arguably.
Thing is, like, if you look at the schedule,
I'm not saying it. I'm just saying they beat the Rams, they beat the Bucks, they beat the Chiefs,
Who
are all playing really good football.
Cowboys
right
week
now.
One, like, I mean, yeah, all like, well,
but still, like that. Yeah. They beat Rams and Bucks were 5-1, right? Like they beat 2 5-1 teams in that stretch, and the Chiefs just beat the Lions. Like, I'm just saying, like it is. I think it's a good point. Like,
Washington's 3-3.
Yes, let's not. I agree. Like the season's not over by any means. Like people should not be freaking out, but it's. I think you should be concerned.
Well, where I was going with this was, I think the best way I can describe how I feel about the team currently is it feels like just a cold smack in the face of reality. It just, we lived on such a high for almost a full calendar year. They never lost. They dominated the Super Bowl. They dominated the championship game. We spent all offseason saying how awesome Jalen is and knowing we were right about it. And then the past, like for me, a little longer, but definitely the past week, 2 losses in 4 days, it just felt like a reminder of everyone, just like of the league and like the sports like world just being like, fall back. Like,
yeah, well, it's hard to win. And
it's hard to win.
We heard so many of those, like, it's hard to win a game. It is. It's hard to win in the NFL. And it's certainly hard to go back to back.
And we spent all offseason, you know, I was a little less, but mostly being like, this group is built for this. They work hard, like the mentality. And like, I will say, even in training camp, when I didn't think they were playing well, I didn't get a bad vibe. Like I thought they weren't playing well, but I did not get they're like lazy and disinterested vibe. I thought they were, but you know, again, hindsight's 2020, the Browns did come in and play with them, right?
Like,
you know, now I can look back at that and it's more concerning. At the time I wasn't as concerned about it, but like now it looked back and it's super concerning. So, you know, all this thought of like, they're different and like, They could be. They could win the Super Bowl. They are one of
course they could.
They are one of 10 teams that could probably win the Super Bowl, right? But they're certainly not playing like it. They're certainly not acting like it. I think if you look at this season as an isolated thing, they probably have nobody that's playing top five at their position right now. Right. So like this idea that they're like,
I mean, Jake Elliott, I guess maybe.
Yeah. Jake Elliott, maybe whoever the long snapper is this week. But this idea that they have this loaded roster, it's not looking like that. It might still be there.
Well,
and they could still look, they're probably still going to make the playoffs. Like, I think it's crazy. We're even talking about probably, but who knows where this could go? Like, Minnesota is a crucial game for me. And I think it's a really tough matchup. Like,
well,
I think
the big issue is Jalen Carter might be out. Quinyon Mitchell is out. Like that they have real deficiencies.
Well,
like
if they don't have Quinyon,
I mean, they're not going to have Quinyon, right? Like, I mean, let's be honest.
I mean, I would say the chances are small. I think it's good news that we have not heard like multiple.
I agree, but is he practicing? I mean,
well,
do we know yet?
Practice till tomorrow.
Yeah. So. Oh, they don't practice till tomorrow. I was thinking today. I'm ahead today. I think it's unlikely to have Quinyon. And I think, look, the injuries are an issue. And and that's something I haven't dealt with the last couple of years that we've talked a lot about. And like, again, I keep saying going to the Super Bowl, it's hard to go back. I think you get every team's best shot.
Like we had talked ourselves out of
that. Oh, of course.
And
I think
that's the smack of reality.
I agree. I totally agree with your smack of reality thing. And I think it's also they're a deficient team. I think, look, we talked a ton about it. And losing Milton Williams and Josh Sweat and Darius Slay and CJ GJ and, you know, so on and so on. Like, it's the defense is hurt. Like, they're not, they don't have edge rushers partially because they didn't fill the spots well, but also because they lost big money guys and they tried to replace them with $1 million contracts. Like, that's hard to do.
I also think, though,
it matters. The losses matter.
For sure. But I also think, and I honestly, me and you both made this point to an extent, but I feel like I definitely would have, like, the defense was very good last year. The defense also benefited from having an offense that controlled the clock a ton. Didn't turn the ball over, right? So, like, the defense made plays. I'm truly not trying to diminish the defense, but they were put in a lot of very advantageous situations. And for what it's worth, when they weren't in advantageous situations last year, they let teams in crucial situations go down the field quite a bit. And they didn't always lose those games, but they certainly made it close. So, like, the defense this year, I think, is not as good as last year.
Obviously.
But I also think the larger issue to the team is the offense is nowhere near as good as it was last year. If the offense,
they can't run the football,
they
man,
can't do anything.
Saquon is yet to have 100 yards in a game.
It's crazy.
They like 2,000 yards last year.
They have nothing to lean on, right? Yeah. Other than the tush push. And
we got to stop saying that. That doesn't.
Well, no, but here's like, I think running the tush push four times in a row, I know it aggravated people nationally in terms of the play and everything. I think the aggravation locally should have been like, this is what we've come to. Like,
but it's such a good play. Like,
it is. I get the logic behind it, but when you're clicking on all cylinders and you run it four straight times, then I can get down with like, it's a smart play. Like, blah, blah, blah.
You could argue they should run the touchdowns every play. At this point, the way the offense is functioning, you know,
it would kill a lot more clock.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But like,
get 2 yards a pop, maybe first down, second down, maybe you throw on third and you hope you'd be better than third and 15, and 10 all the freaking time.
Honestly, so that's the other thing that they're definitely hammering home is they think a main issue is first and second down.
Well, it is.
And it is. It is. Like,
and
they blame
and
the
so
predictability
the
on it.
And getting the plays in on time.
That's
and
absurd.
All these, I mean, what are we doing? This is week 7. How is it honestly, of all the things you could argue offensively, the most alarming is that they've not been able to correct
exactly
this
what I said.
Because I get, and look, I still have major issues with the scheme. You know, we battled a bit on that. You know, not that you're saying it's great or whatever, but I think the fact that everyone is like, this is the most predictable thing I've ever seen is a real problem. I know execution is a real problem, but just on a basic level, I can understand that those things can be hard to fix or correct as you go. Maybe it takes time. Like, getting the plays in on time and running them on time is not. Like, that is basic the worst offenses in the league get that done.
So the only saving grace I'll say about the play clock thing.
So this isn't that bad. Can I tell you, I was hosting the morning show once.
Yeah.
And it was like the side topic was who had like a famous accessory or whatever. And at the end, one of the answers it came down to was Flavor Flav's clock. And I said, Flavor Flav's
Is that like a YouTube's going to care about that word?
No, I don't think so.
That's totally fine. That's totally fine. You're good. We're good.
But the S word, God forbid. Yeah. So this is what I was going to say.
He really gets on that.
Yeah, it's absurd. It's not a curse
word. It's a curse word.
Well, someone should tell my Lada because he says that like every
I know.
Week.
Yeah. But the poor producers of his show.
Yeah, because it's not a curse word.
Well, they have to dump it. So.
Yeah. All right. So what I was going to say was the getting up to the line of scrimmage.
So you weren't going to talk about his penis.
No, I was not. Yeah. Week 13, depending on the record. he brought it up again last night. The like not getting to the line. And yeah. I'll say this. He unprompted has now twice brought up the effort of running to the huddle after the play.
That's a big deal.
I'm going to try to watch closer for that. But Tucker, this is where I was going to go to you on this. Because Tucker, we were looking up where they ranked in terms of getting to the line of scrimmage, or I forget what the exact phrasing of the stat was. But they're near the bottom. I think they were 30th or 31st or 32nd. But here's the only thing I'll say. They were like 30th last year. They were like 28th the year before. So
it's kind of just how they do
things.
So
it might just be how they operate, but it does feel like they themselves.
Yeah. The point is, if my Lotta is saying they're not happy with what they're doing.
And they're working on it. Yeah. Like that's the crazy thing. They are trying their hardest. And now I will say when they go through the process of doing it, you can understand why it would take. So like why it's a lot of moving parts, but like, guess what guys, like you're professionals and whether or not we want to think it's a big deal or not, they're telling us it's a big idea and they can't fix it. And so I think it's a couple things and honestly, not that interesting to break down why they're not getting to the line, but like, I mean, they talked about getting to the huddle. Like I have to take their word for that. I do think like he even brought up last night, like there'll be times where they're in the huddle and it's loud and Jalen can't hear. So he has to step off to the side and come back in. Like it does sound like there's a lot of mitigating factors. I personally think it's got to be the timing of the play call. I think it's such a notable issue this year. As opposed to last year, there has to be something different because they weren't worked up about it last year and they weren't doing it considerably faster last year, at least according to
Kellen Moore has done that for years and years and years. That's
caller.
My point. Yeah.
Yeah. So like that would be my guess.
That would make sense. I mean, that's a logical thing for a first time play caller to potentially have an issue with, you know?
So
should be struggling to make the right calls or how quick he can make all that. You might calls quick. You gotta be ready. Gotta be thinking ahead, making plays.
And like, I think it matters what the issue is, but I'm also more of like, I don't care what the specific issue is. I care they can't get it fixed.
Especially I totally agree. That's my bigger issue is that we're week 7 and that my Lotta has talked about it multiple times.
Well, and that's the other thing. What have they fixed this season?
Well, that's the next
What's an issue where at the beginning of the year, we started to see it and we feel like they've gotten better at
nothing.
It. You could argue there's been stretches where the passing game has looked better.
Sure.
But like not any noticeable amount, like, you know,
well, not consistently, which is all that matters.
The running game isn't getting any better. And this is the funny thing too. And I'm definitely jaded by the fact that I talk to the players, but like they have gotten so many opportunities to throw Petullo under the bus. I cannot tell you how many times in the past month I have heard a media member, including me, ask them questions where they could very easily be like, yeah, you know, we have a new coordinator and that's really hard.
Players never say that.
No, I know, but like the passion in which they are talking about their own mistakes makes me believe it. And the reality is, of the blame pie, it's not 100% one thing. So like, if you think it's Petullo,
I think Petullo's bad. I don't think he can't get better. Again, he's called plays for 7 games ever and he's in the NFL. But I think so far he has been bad. I sent you a tweet that I wish I had thought of it myself with the Jalen stuff. If you look at the Jalen, every time he's had a good coordinator has been good. Steichen in 22 and you had Johnson in 23, Kellen Moore in 24, you get this guy in 25. Like pretty good tweet.
Yeah, but here would be my counter to that. You're also looking at years after Super Bowl.
I know.
So like,
That's part of it too. So I think the Eagles are going to be really good next year.
Yeah, yeah, honestly.
I really do. Like, we'll see what happens with this year, but I think next year is going to be awesome.
I saw a tweet and it was really good. It said like, well, at least we know they'll be awesome in 26.
I know,
and like,
right?
It's true. While we're in it, and this is why I don't want to be too negative because I don't want to wave the white flag. Like they're 4-2.
Oh, I totally agree
with you. They beat Minnesota.
That's why I keep bringing up 2018. Yeah. I don't want to bring up last year. You can too, but it feels more like a 2018 type situation so far.
Yeah. Like, and that's the other thing too. I was thinking the 2017 team and the 2022 team while 2024 was better, I think we're two of the best Eagle teams we've ever seen. Obviously, yeah, 2017 wins the first Super Bowl. 2022, we were like, this is unbelievable. Never have a roster this good again.
Yeah, no doubt.
And those two teams essentially went through what this team's going through in 18 and 23. So,
it's
like,
a great point.
So, while we're blaming the players, and I mean, I'm blaming the players, it's just really, really hard to do. And that's not an excuse. Like, I actually think Howie holds a lot of blame
here. Of course he does. I mean, look at that. And Jeffrey, too. Like, look, Howie did a bad job filling holes this offseason, but at the same time, he was also hamstrung because they didn't have a ton of money. Like, he signed bargain basement guys to
remember. Yeah.
Like, Milton Williams was the highest paid player in free agency.
Yeah. Well, he was never going
to
come back.
No,
yeah,
I know. I'm pointing out
what they lost.
The highest pay. They lost just for me $80 million or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're signing guys like $3 million, like, or Josh Uche, who didn't even make a million or whatever. Like it's hard to replace a guy who gets $100 million, a guy gets $80 million on the free agent market, whether they're worth it or not, that type of player, by giving a guy $3 million or giving a guy $990,000 or whatever the hell Uche is making. Yeah. Like it's hard.
I agree. And the other thing, like, what did they learn from 23 that's being implemented?
Well,
now?
Clearly not much.
Do they look any different than they did in 18 or 23? They look exactly the same.
Yeah, now, and look, it could be circumstantial. Like, it could be they tried things and it's just certain players, certain situation. Like, look, we don't, like, the AJ thing might be sucking so much energy out of that building. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
Is my point.
You know, I think a lot of things are like,
I agree.
Injuries
and this and that, like, there's so many factors.
Yeah. But like, also as we start to look ahead a little bit, I know later in the week, we'll do a pod on the game, but I also think it's like, it's time for Jalen to put the cape on a little bit.
Yeah.
Like,
we had a car say that today and I thought it was a fair point.
Like, and I'll speak for a lot of people, but me and you specifically, Tucker, you can be included in this if you want. Like, we defended Jalen
big time
all offseason, right? Like, I had him number one athlete in the city. I said he was the main reason they won the Super Bowl. I said he belonged ahead of Baker. Like, all right. Talk about a cold smack of reality. Like, he has not lived up to everyone that defended him strongly.
I agree.
And look, I don't think the tough thing is he's playing a sport and he's human and there's human errors. So I don't think it's like I just think he's making mistakes. Right. But also,
and I think that I think it all works together. I think the offensive line sucking has hurt him. I think the AJ issue has hurt him, but like, he has not been good enough.
And I also think that all quarterbacks need good things around them to be good. But I think the other smack reality is, you know, I think it was, maybe it was on Go Birds. I can't remember. I think it was because Black Gritty, I think, brought it up. Like, I don't think Jalen's regressed. I think what's concerning to me is
he hasn't progressed.
And so when I watch Jalen this year, I think what feels like the biggest smack reality is it looks just like it did last year, only with a few more mistakes. So it's, you know, 23 in retrospect, the offense actually wasn't as bad as we remember it.
Until the blitz thing.
But until the blitz thing and the turnovers hurt them. But like, they move the ball, right? Like, they're not moving the ball now. And I think Jalen is, you know, again, not 100% of the pie, but Jalen's supposed to be the guy that we said was like, he's there with Josh Allen. He belongs ahead of Lamar because Lamar hasn't won in the playoffs. Like, Joe Burrow, I think Jalen still is ahead of him because Joe Burrow is hurt again.
Can't stay on the field.
Right. But like, where's the Jalen that we all talked about? Like, where's the guy that we were like, he better be in the top 20?
Here's the thing. You brought up the dude's name who I think we should use as the, so you said Baker. And now, to be fair, Baker's 30. Baker went through losing at other teams and then finally found the right spot. Jalen's so young. But to the point of like, Baker has lost Mike Evans, has lost Ibuka, has had a messed up offensive line all year. And that dude's slinging it all over the
place. Disaster of an offensive
making
line.
Making plays. Like, Baker is raising everyone around him. It is fair now at this point in the season, especially now when they need it. It feels like, all right, it's time. You know,
right. and
look, I get it. When the running game stinks, the running game has been.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Awful. Like, and that's on everybody, but you know, you got to blame the offensive line, blame the play calling, blame Saquon to a point, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard. I get it. When nothing around you is functioning well, the offensive line isn't functioning well, the running game isn't functioning well. AJ and you have this whole thing. AJ's right. Maybe not giving it 100. Like, who knows what's going on? I agree. We've reached the point now, you're 4-2 and the offense is a disaster, where Jalen, show us something. Like, it's time for him to say, all right, like, I'm trying to work with it in this system. It's time for me to your point, put the cape on and lift them out of this and make them a functional offense, because he alone can do that. I agree with you. I don't disagree.
And by the way, going to be tough to do against Minnesota.
Well, yeah, it's with the Flores stuff. Yeah. It's going to be a really hard spot.
So I got a bunch of things off of what you said. First, I want to make something crystal clear. Everything you just said falls on Petullo and Sirianni. So, like, I don't want to be I'm defending Petullo. Like, everyone's doing a bad job right now. If they fired Petullo at the end of the year, I'd probably be in favor of it, right? So just to be clear about that.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert, because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
The second thing is, I really hope I don't forget my points. What else were you saying? Talking about, I'm going to forget him.
Oh, no. It's the worst feeling in the world.
I know.
I talked about the offensive line being hurt. I talked about the play calling being an issue.
What I was going to say is, despite all that, if Jalen just hits a wide open Devontae and doesn't throw an interception, I think there's a good chance they win the game. Mm-hmm. Like, especially the interception.
The interception was awful. I saw it. It was just a bad decision, a bad play. And now you could say he's frustrated and maybe made a bad decision.
Well, I think the best defense of it is it was just a very uncharacteristic thing.
Look, they put the graphic up. It was like his first interception over 300 passes or whatever.
So, like,
MetLife's a bad spot for him, too.
It is.
Like, I just think there's something about him going into that building where he just kind of loses his mind a bit.
Disgusting stadium.
Arguably his two worst interceptions in the last 2 years, years were up in MetLife.
So, like, Jalen, it's like with Jalen, I get if there's a lot of bad things going on, you can't carry them to a win every year, but you can't be every game, you can't be the reason they lose. Like, and he was the reason. Not let's say the reason, but like he holds a lot of blame for why they lost that game. Because now, is it fair to expect him to be perfect? No, players are going to make mistakes. Other players are making mistakes. But like,
and again, if the play calling's bad, if the offensive line is bad, like there's only so much he
Jalen's
can do.
Jalen's mistakes are magnified, and that's why he gets more credit when they win. Like, I can't all offseason be like, he's the reason they won the Super Bowl. And then when they're 4-2, be like, well, actually, it's this and this. Like, you didn't hear me talking about the scheme last year. I don't even know if I used the word scheme one time after
I do think it's fair to bring up the scheme. Like, again.
So
like,
this is where we just disagree.
Yes, because, again, like, I think when you need a good scheme as a quarterback.
But
Kellen Moore was awesome. Like, I think he did a good job.
Good scheme. They're just not executing it.
But again,
they're running
the same stuff. Okay, real quick.
They're running the same
real
plays.
Well, you have to change. It's the NFL. That's the whole point.
But like, the scheme was good last year.
But again, if the teams watch the tape last year and you're running the same scheme,
right,
and then they can know what you're calling because of it, and then it's all predictable and all that, change the scheme.
But like,
do something different, or like have something where you're playing off what they're playing. Like have a response. Like have a, so like, here's my question to you. I get it. I am not saying the execution doesn't matter. Execution matters.
Yeah.
But when every single person again who, and we both acknowledge that we are not experts on tape, right? Like the Ron Jaworski or, you know, Dan Orlovsky or whatever you want to say, people who play quarterback and it for a living and whatever, like those Shield, like those guys know what they're talking about with this stuff better. When every single one of them says it's predictable, the routes are poor, that it's just a very simple, bad scheme. Like, how do you respond?
Yeah, it's the same way I'll respond is like, I don't disagree that it's a simple offense. I don't disagree that it's a simple scheme. I'm just saying when the players play well, the scheme works.
Well, it did last year. The point is that teams watch the
table last year. But it worked in 2022 as well.
It was a little different. In 2022, they went deep a lot. That was a different scheme.
Well, they want to go deep, but Jalen missed Devontae.
But for what it's worth, it was a different scheme in 2022. It was different.
I don't know if that's completely
not
true,
not completely, but the offensive approach was different. What Steichen looked, the offense with Steichen looked different than it did with Kellen Moore. They ran the ball so much more with Kellen Moore. It was a completely different offense.
Yeah,
they ran the ball.
They want to run it this year, but they're not.
That's my point, though, is you have to have a like response when they throw you a curveball and you're expecting a fastball. Guess what? You got to adjust.
But like, I think that they are trying, but the players are messing up, and it's
again. I get your point, but you have to acknowledge that it could also be that the coaches aren't good enough.
Again,
all the people say the coaches are, the scheme isn't good enough. Right. Whatever their response to what defenses are doing in this year isn't good enough.
But I think
that has to be on coaching too.
But I think part of what's baked into that is going, well, these players are awesome, so obviously it can't be the players.
No, they're watching the scheme and saying these routes are lazy. It's the same routes over and over. All these different things. Like, and again, it is inarguable that when people say 88% of the time they're in this formation, they do this thing, that is a bad thing for an offense.
I agree.
That's not on the players. That's on the coaches. That scheme.
Here's the other thing that stood out for me watching the game a few times. AJ, I've defended you. You're not a diva, but like, man, some not great tape out there sometimes with like blocking on the outside.
Effort.
Yeah. So like, I think, and Devontae too, like there are parts where I watch plays and I'm like, wow, that was bad. And then I go, well, hold on. Like they're great players. Like, come on. Like there's so much example on the tape of like the players, honestly, like I've been trying to think of this expression all week. Maybe you can help me with it. What's it? It's like a fat cat. Like what's like,
yeah. Yeah, like being a fat cat.
Right, like they've got too rich.
Yeah,
not rich, but you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like lots of compliments. Lots
sure.
Of, they look
high like, on their own supply.
They look like they're slow and disinterested out there. And Diana Russini said it when she was like, AJ seems disinterested.
Was a bad quote.
And I think that's true. Though.
I do too. It's the vibe I get. I'm with you.
I even said earlier.
That's horrible. Again, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about where it's like, I don't think you could just, and I get it. Jalen deserves blame because he's the quarterback and all that. But I don't think you just look at Jalen and be like, he's the problem.
No,
when
I agree.
Stuff like that is happening.
I agree. But I think all the things we're talking about there is why I am, again, not 100% players, but why I am more players than you are, because I see the effort and stuff out there. Now, where I'll
and
agree
again,
with you
I,
is,
so I think where we're different is I am not, I think the players hold a big part of it. I think I'm more anti-Petullo and scheme. Like, it's not as, like, I think they both deserve a ton of blame.
Yeah.
I think you are like, the players deserve by far the most blame.
Yes.
I am like, it's like 50-50.
Okay, so I'm
or like maybe 55-45 Kevin Petullo.
So I'm more like,
but that's my point is like, yeah, you're
75
players. That's where that's where we diverge. So my point is like, I still blame the players a lot. I'm just much more 50-50, whereas you are like, it's the players.
And again, if they announced that they were firing Petullo, I would not be like, this is a mistake. I'd be like, well, yeah, no duh. They're terrible at everything. And he's the offensive coordinator. Like he deserves to go. But here's what I would say too, like for people that want to be critical of the coaches, right? Like, Jeff Stoutland is the offensive line coach and he is the run game coordinator. And those two areas have been awful. And the backup players that have gone in have played awful. If you want to say, like, again, we like the 88% when they're under shotgun, they run it or whatever. That's Stoutland. Like
It's Stoutland, Nick, and Petullo.
Okay,
you got to include
Stoutland.
But yes.
Stoutland is the run game coordinator. Like he does the run
sure,
game. I'm,
sure.
No, I'm just saying.
I get it. But Kevin Petullo is the offensive coordinator. Falls under him.
Sure.
And then Nick's head coach falls under him.
It falls under him in the way that like everything falls under him in that regard. But like if we want to say the run scheme is a basic vanilla boring scheme, then just say like rip Jeff Stoutland too, because that is on him. Like he is the run game coordinator. I know we don't want to because he's a great coach.
I know it's
but
not even that. Like I'm down to rip Stoutland. The offensive line has been great. Like I think I'm not ripping. Like Jeff Stoutland is a Hall of Fame coach. Like,
yes,
all that stuff. But my point is like, I know he's the run game coordinator, but he's the offensive line coach who gets those guys ready to play and blocking schemes and all that. Ultimately, he's not calling plays on game day. He's not.
No, but he is designing the run.
He's helping to design it.
He is like he is
the architect.
Yes,
is what
he is like the most of the run scheme.
Guy. Okay.
Like Petullo does the passing game, Statlin does the run game, and then all of it is based off of Nick and Jalen, if that makes sense.
So yeah, again, he's not calling the plays the though.
Oh, Elliot.
Oh, no. He's not calling plays. So
what are they, why would there be an escape button right there? My bad.
Maybe don't touch things.
Well, I was went like this. Yeah, my bad.
He could have just kept going like a pro.
He said, oh, no.
See, a lot of people are just listening to the podcast.
Sorry, it's a little color.
And not seeing the YouTube. They should check out the YouTube. It's awesome. But if they're not, they're like, what was that? Why did that happen?
He really sold it as if it was a major mistake. It was fixed in like a second.
Yeah, well.
I'm really good at my job.
You were. Well, and you're also very good at being dry and sarcastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe just don't touch things.
I didn't want to.
But I am good at my job. I don't want that to be the sarcastic comment.
No, you are amazing. You're
doing. Yes.
Next time, just plow through like a pro is my point. You know, act like a pro.
I made the decision to make it.
Oh, I know you did. I know. You chose content. It was purposeful.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just, to circle back, like, nobody's doing a good job right now. Nobody. And like, when nobody's doing a good job, the main players, I think, hold the most points.
Does Kevin Petullo pay you to...
No. Dude, again...
I'm joking, man.
It's so funny.
I know how annoyed you get by it. That's why.
Like, I would fire him. Fire him. Like, fire him. I don't care. Like, he's not done a good job. I didn't even like the hire.
And the best thing about this is that I've spent a decade, like, trying to get this guy worked up about stuff, and it never works. Like, I finally found something that actually gets his go.
I'm like defending someone I didn't even think was a good hire. If you would have told me when they hired Petullo, it would look like this, I would be like, duh. Like, this is what it always looks like when they promote from within. So like, I'm again acknowledging that's part of it. Like, the players have also been bad.
So good. They have. All right, let's get to Nick real quick. And I want to get to something he said on the morning show in a moment, because that was interesting.
Yeah.
But Nick's culpability on this, because we've talked a lot about Petullo, we talked a lot about Jalen, and you know, we love Nick, Sirianni Island, all that stuff, but you know, at the end of the day, I think that the majority of things that we're talking about.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah,
for those not watching the video, Ellie just pretending these games are in. It's really a thing now, and I appreciate it. And we want to make sure the listeners who are not watching are included, you know? Yeah,
pretending they hit the panic button.
Nick said on the air today that he's like, you know, he believes we could fix this. I do think a lot of the things we're talking about, whether it's, you know, effort or execution in a lot of cases, scheme.
Yeah.
Obviously the lack of discipline, like all these things at the end of the day fall on Nick. He's the head coach, and to his credit, he literally said those exact words on the morning. So he's like, accountability, it's all on me. This is my job. And I appreciate that. Where are you at? Look, we believe in Nick. I think he's a great coach, but like for this season right now in the moment, he's struggled so far to get these things corrected. To your point that you said, like, what have they gotten better at 7 weeks into the season? Normally by now it's
and all of training camp.
Yeah. By now it's fixed or it's fixing. We see it starting to change. Like, where are you at with Nick and the job he's done in this area?
I think he's been bad.
Yeah.
I mean, the effort thing is like, look, it really comes down to how much do you think he can influence the players.
Exactly.
And to me, we don't get to do the whole look at this culture he's built. They play so hard from blah, blah,
exactly.
blah. And then when they're bad, be like, well, it's
same thing with Jalen.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, yeah, I think he's been bad. And I thought his body language after the Giants game was bad. When he was up at the podium, he seemed like sad and put out. Oh, like, I know, which is
I hate
sad.
Seeing this.
I know, but it is what it is. That, like, I just
look, he's got a Super Bowl ring and he got a giant contract this offseason.
Yeah. I think he almost looked kind of like shell shocked.
Yeah. So that's, and Joe pointed this out, his answer to the question about, he was asked about the edge rusher room or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time in a while I've heard Nick like stumble over a question.
Yeah.
And he basically goes, well, we love Jalen Hunt and it's a great room there.
Yeah,
like,
he said
no names. Then on with us today, like, listed the names because he realized he hadn't said Josh Uche's name wrong. Like,
Uche or whatever. Yeah. He said. In case anyone thought Nick was involved in the defense, I think we've gotten our answer.
I do think that it feels like Nick, in with some of these things, is like, with the pass rush, like,
well, I think it's just like, it's not my job. Like,
not his job. It's like, I don't know how to fix this or what the answer is. I don't know if it's fixable is probably a better thing. Not that I don't know how to fix it. I don't know that we can fix this with the resources.
So I think what it really is Nick knows they're not good enough.
Yeah.
And where Nick stumbles is where he's trying to lie.
Yeah.
Cause I think he's a naturally.
I mean, he knows the pass rush. Well, we all know you.
I asked him yesterday if the toughness in the Giants game was up to his standard. And he basically just like agreed with me for a minute and a half without saying it. Like, you know, be like, we have to get back to dominating at the line of scrimmage. We have the guy, but he knows they got pushed up and down the field in that game. So in terms of the edge rusher position, like, yeah, I think they know their edges suck. I don't think there's like,
that's my point.
He can say whatever he wants.
I think he's like, I don't know how to answer this question.
These guys,
like,
aren't good enough.
Yeah.
They were like, we hope they were going
to
be good enough.
And again, it goes back to, and I don't know if I think in some ways there's no one to blame. In some cases, it's the decisions, how he made with the money ad. In some cases, maybe it's Jeffrey Lurie saying, I don't want to give as much cash out. Who knows?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of factors to this, but the guys that he signed to replace those big guys were, you're getting what you paid for.
Yeah.
Is probably a good way to put it, right? So, with Josh Uche and Azeez Ojulari, you're getting the $4 million you spent combined on those guys.
I mean, let's bring up Isaiah Rodgers.
That too. Yeah. So, I mean, Isaiah Rodgers, Mekhi Becton on the other end, like all the guys we were most upset. That was the thing. We went into the offseason feeling pretty, not good, but okay with the fact that they weren't going to sign Milton Williams or Josh.
Again, we talked ourselves into everything.
Yeah. We were like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. But the ones that I was upset about, the ones that you were like,
I said the biggest
was Isaiah Rodgers and Mekhi Becton. It was like, why not? Like, that was $10 million to $15 million. What are we doing?
Well, and here's the thing about Rodgers. So, like, my understanding of it is basically they thought the deal was done and then they were blindsided where he just signed with the Vikings, right? And like, they can't control what he does. Maybe he was like, I want to go there because I have a better chance. Like, who knows? Here's the deal. It's Howie's job to get the deal done.
Yep.
Like, whatever the circumstance was, it's his job. If he calls you and goes, we're signing with the Vikings, then go, we'll give you $5 million more.
Yeah.
Like, it was not a lot of money. You've invested 2 years into this guy. He's been, I think he's playing above his head in Minnesota, but like, he's been the third best cornerback in the NFL, arguably, this year, according to Pro Football Focus, which I know you don't like, but whatever. Yeah. Like, it's a major mistake. And again, he's going to have mistakes. He can't win every negotiation.
Yeah, Howie was on a real heater there.
But like, that was, and it was such an uncharacteristic mistake too. Like, that's the thing. It wasn't like a, you know, sometimes Eagles make decisions, but we can sit here and go, I see the logic of it. With the Isaiah Rodgers thing, we're like, why? And then Becton, here's what I'll say too. There's a lot of focus on Brett Toth and he was bad. Tyler Steen's not been great either.
Yeah,
I think Steen is skating by because people are struggling, but he's not been good either. So like, the interior of their line is a major problem. And you want to talk about getting bullied. It's hard to bully Mekhi Becton.
Sure is.
It's a lot easier to bully. No, I mean, I could never do it, but Tyler Steen, you know, he's smaller, right? So like, yeah. And again, this week, Minnesota, Isaiah Rodgers, they're going to play the Chargers. I don't think Becton's been as good, but whatever.
But whatever. It doesn't matter. He might have been good here. That's all that matters.
100%. Yeah.
We saw Nick Foles stink everywhere else he went and come here and be a stud.
I agree. It was major mistakes by him. Yeah. And like, Adoree's not been good. I mean,
yeah.
Josh Uche has actually, I think, played above his pay grade, but he's been like the fourth best edge.
Dude, we were talking about like after the first game he played, we're like, wow, turns out Za'Darius Smith was his best signing of the offseason.
Well, all right. So the,
not anymore, I guess.
Here's the Za'Darius thing, and then we can talk about BG. Yep. Like, the Za'Darius thing to me, I think losing a player of Za'Darius Smith's quality is okay. The red flag is that it's going to hurt this team so much that they're losing a player.
That it's a disaster.
He is currently an average NFL player.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If honestly, you
maybe slightly below average, but yeah, he's probably
or
average.
Some weeks above, but like, yeah. He is not like,
he's hit or miss.
Let's not act like, you know, Nolan Smith retired. Yeah. Like it should not, we should not be in full panic mode because Za'Darius Smith retired. They didn't even have him in the first game of the season. So like, the fact that it's such a big deal just speaks to how bad it is.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Johnson's the only guy on the team with this, or only edge rusher on the team with this.
Crazy.
I mean, he wants to make the roster.
He shouldn't be on the roster.
Yeah, he's the practice squad up, down.
Yes, exactly.
It's crazy. All right. Let's get to the BG thing. So, Joe asked Nick about it today, and very definitively, Nick did not say no. I think he didn't say yes.
Yeah.
He's like, we're happy with our room or whatever. We'll see. We have to look into everything, but it was very much
brought up the culture.
Yeah. Very much not a no.
Yeah.
What did you make of that? What do you make of the idea of going after BG and the likelihood of it happening?
So the first thing I'll say is I think Brandon's coming back.
You go.
Boom, not 100%, but
you think Brandon's going to play?
I think we will be doing a Brandon Graham emergency podcast.
Is that worthwhile?
Yeah. Like, here would be my thoughts on it. You know, and Brandon, let's just be fully transparent about it. It's different to talk about him because like we work with him to an extent. Like, he's in the station all the time. Like, I did the Brandon Graham show with him a few times. I've covered him my whole career. Like, literally since I started covering the Eagles, Brandon's been there. So I think there's the like the personal side of it where I'm kind of like, Brandon, man.
So that's where I'm at.
Right.
Like, I personally, especially because like, look, I think he helps his team, obviously, but like, I don't know if he makes enough of a difference, like all that type of stuff where it's like he has a chance to go out in the most magical way possible.
Yeah.
But at the same time, look, if or he wants like
the
to
ugliest way possible.
Well, I know if he wants to do it and has that unfulfilled thing and look, he's got the Eagles over a barrel, can make some cash.
Yeah.
You know?
So all those things are true.
So
too.
Like I'm torn. I personally, I love
to get so many chances. To
I
play.
Loved him going out the way he did, but I've said this a million times. I'll say it a million more. Like I will never begrudge, especially a football player, but any athlete who has a
money.
Very finite, not just money. He has a very finite amount of time in life to do the thing that he will be best, almost definitely be best at. I guess some at like Charles Barkley is maybe just as good on TV. There, it's a the thing that you're best at. We were born to do in your mind. You have a very short time of your life to do it at a professional level, and that's it. And then you can never do it again for the next 50, 60, whatever you live, 30 years, whatever you live past that. So I will never, ever say you shouldn't play. Like, I'm good with it. If you want to play, brother, yeah, like, do
sure.
it.
I'll be happy for him.
I personally am like, yo, what a perfect way to go.
Yeah, I think like my just like...
what a dream.
My friend advice would be... Now, again, so, I'm not going to begrudge
I won't say, yeah, $5 million or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Now, here's my issue with it too, though. I don't think I like the reasoning behind it from the Eagles' perspective. I think when they bring Brandon in, if they bring Brandon in,
oh, you already went. Man, I love it.
The argument, the talking point will be like, what a culture guy.
Yeah,
right.
Of course. Oh, and then if the culture doesn't get fixed, it puts Brandon in a bad spot.
No. It's okay. What, like Brandon's going to come save the culture. He's retired.
I mean,
what about
last year?
What about
saved it last
what
year?
What about all these guys that were supposed to be good culture
well,
guys that
issue.
We heard about?
That's
what about Jalen? Yeah. What about AJ? What about Jalen Carter?
AJ,
what about Noah? Well, but
not,
I'm saying
AJ's not a good
No, but the, no, what I'm trying to say
AJ's
is like,
AJ's a bad team.
So,
I don't care. I don't care what you say. He might be a great guy, awesome guy, bad team, or at least not a good teammate.
Okay.
You can't say good teammate after he's caused weeks and weeks of his teammates having to answer questions and think about it and deal with it. Like, that's not what good teammates do. I'm sorry.
Right.
He might be a likable guy who's a friendly guy who they're friends with.
Teammates
I don't
really
think
like
he is a great team. Yes.
Well, that's
I think he's
that's
a likable guy.
Of a good
no,
teammate.
It's not. No, it's not.
Well,
no, it's
they
not.
Wouldn't think he
a
was
teammate
a bad...
is about he's a good friend. That doesn't make him a good teammate. Like, what he is doing is bad teammate stuff, flat out. It is. Like, there's no... He is causing the entire team to have to worry about this for weeks. Like, all they've talked about is AJ. Everything, every time Jalen Hurts gets in the podium, he has to answer questions. Nick Sirianni, third straight week, he has been on our show, and Joe has asked him a question about AJ Brown. Like, I'm sorry. Like, yes, he's a human-wise, might be an awesome guy who might be everyone's favorite person in the building. That doesn't mean he's being a good teammate. He's being a bad teammate right now.
What if his... teammates agree with him.
It doesn't matter. He's causing strife in the building.
Well, but maybe the teammates, like maybe Devontae's happy he's causing a stir. Maybe the offensive line's happy he's causing a stir.
I think it's unlikely.
I don't know.
I think it's unlikely. You think it's likely?
I think what AJ is upset about, a lot of people are upset about.
Shut up, AJ. I'm sorry.
Right,
like,
I'm
keep it in-house and then work it out together as a team.
Again,
that's a team's four. You talk about it all the time. Nothing leaves this building. Like,
yes.
I'm sorry. There's no defending it. He's like this bad team is up.
So
like, there's no way around it. Like,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Yeah. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sorry. I'm saying, like, you could be correct.
He's being a bad Nick Sirianni. Sucks for him. Like, what are we talking about here?
But I guess what I'm saying is, like, you can be correct in feeling that way, and I mostly agree with you on it. I'm just saying, I don't think the people that are his teammates feel that way. Now, you
can
be,
think he's a good guy and they like him, but I don't like he's being a bad teammate.
Well,
like,
all right. So
I don't care if they think he's a good teammate because they're friends with him. Of course, they're going to say
But their opinion of if he's a good teammate matters or not. If he's their literal teammate,
they might be conflating things. He's my friend. I love him. That doesn't mean he's being a good teammate by doing
right.
what he's doing.
And I understand why you and other people think that. I'm just regardless. Like, back to my point. Like, the culture can't be saved by Brandon. You can't have a 35, 36, like year old player come in midway through the season and expect that he's going to be the culture changer. Because if he has to be, then the culture that they've built is not sustainable or the guys in the locker room are not ready for it. So like, I believe in Nick as a culture setter. I believe in some of the players on the team as a culture setter. But like, if they bring Brandon in for the sole purpose, by the way, I think they probably like the idea that he's really close with Jalen Hurts. Like,
of
I think,
course, yeah.
Right? So I don't like that logic. And like, maybe he'll play well. He played well last year. Look, it's Brandon. Like, it's hard for me. But I think the rationale behind it highlights all the red flags they have. And maybe he's the best solution to a problem. But it's still a massive problem that I think they're expecting him to fix. And I don't think he'll be able to fix it.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to final thoughts.
All right, you pulled that out of almost nowhere.
You do it at the end of
no,
every
I know,
pod.
But I couldn't tell if we were wrapping that up. quickly, are you caught up on Task?
I have not seen last night's episode or two nights ago. So I've watched your episode 5. I have not seen episode 6 yet.
The one after that. One of the better episodes of TV I've seen.
Whoa!
It reminded me of the Game of Thrones episode, the battle. What's the one like the Battle of the Bastards?
Yeah, sure.
Like the one at the castle where they have huge, like it reminded me of that.
Wow. I am
very,
psyched.
Very, very good.
Cool. Awesome.
All right. So, but my final thought.
Yes.
All right. If you had to bet on a food and if
love
you
love where this is headed, this is a great lead in.
Thank you. Yeah. And if you pick the right food, you won a prize.
Okay.
Like, I don't know, $1 million.
Okay.
And the question was, you have to pick the food that the largest portion of the population has eaten.
Phenomenal question.
Thank
just
you.
America.
No, the world.
Oh, so the world population.
Yeah, like
rice.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Or noodles. Like, I think you could argue like apples. Because here's something to consider. Think
we
about
have to
this.
Think about what vegetables and fruits are present in other countries.
You also have to
common.
Think about babies.
Sure. Oh, baby.
And they
point.
Don't eat. I don't know for sure.
So you would
I don't
include
think,
babies in the percentage. It makes
yeah,
sense.
And like they don't eat rice super early in their life, but they do eat soft food. That you would argue has fruit
thing.
In it, right?
I love that just that one line there shows you how much time Elliot has thought about this. This is you've spent a lot of time thinking about this.
I thought, yeah, for at least a half hour.
I think rice. Yeah. I'm going to go with rice, but you make a good point.
I think I think rice is a good answer.
Because like everyone has rice at some point or another. It's with now, so many different things, like, so many different dishes. It's a grain. It's
doesn't
not
rice
like,
have gluten in it?
No.
Okay, never mind.
No, that's my point. Is like rice can pasta can have gluten in it.
Okay.
Rice doesn't. Like rice is about
I feel like babies eat pasta before they eat rice. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
I mean, I don't think there's a one or the other. I mean, they don't eat food till they eat food. And then
right, but I think once they do, I feel like I see more babies eating noodles than rice.
Maybe. I don't know. Sure.
This would matter. There's a lot
but
of babies.
I don't know. I don't know. I'll bet you babies in Asia eat more rice. Like I don't know that. You know, we don't know is the point.
Yeah.
Like I don't know the rest of the
so
world.
So you would
now.
Pick rice would be
I would pick rice, but I don't feel super strongly about it. It could be noodles. It could be.
I wouldn't pick noodles.
I don't think. Okay. You just made such a case.
I know, but I'm just saying I wouldn't pick it. Like, I would not be.
I'm going with rice. That's my official answer. It's my gut call. I'm gonna stick
I think I'd probably go rice too.
Tucker, would you like to chime in?
I do feel like apples.
I think apples is a ridiculous answer.
Yeah, because there's so many different fruit. There's so many people.
My number two, I think, would be potato.
Potato's a really good answer because potatoes are versatile in a lot of different things. Now, I don't know about potatoes in other parts of the world, whether they can grow potatoes everywhere and whether import, export stuff.
I really think you got to decide because honestly,
I think it's rice.
I feel good about it.
I think it but I think the core of the answer has to be what's the food that babies eat? Because no, everyone's a baby.
You're overrating babies, though. You're overrating.
I don't think I am overrating babies.
I think it's weird that this is the one variable you thought of as babies.
Well, because think about it. Like, once you're five and above, I agree with you. Everybody's had rice.
But the point is if we're talking about the whole body, so you're only adding in babies. Like, you're saying, like, babies make the difference because you're saying that everyone else, like, my point is, like, not all babies have apples. Like, not all babies have.
No, but if we could figure out the one food all babies had, I think that would be the winning answer. Because once you're three or four, everyone's eating rice. And so
So milk, does milk count as an answer? Because milk's the winning answer if that's what we're really going to talk. Because then you have to.
Well,
you don't have a choice
have formula.
Like, literally every some. Yeah. But they still drink milk at some point or another. I think milk's, if we're really.
Milk, yeah.
Water.
Water would actually.
Water
would
doesn't count, but that water is the correct answer.
It's not food.
Okay. This is good.
Something to think about.
All right. I'm reading a nonfiction book.
Wow.
I know.
So a real book.
Oh, this is pretty crazy.
Ring the Bell by
An
Jack
adult
Fritz.
Book?
No,
yeah.
No. It's actually a baseball book. That is funny, but better one. No offense to Jack.
Wow.
I'm reading The Lords of the Realm.
Doesn't sound like a baseball book.
Super high recommendation. It's about the history of the business of baseball, like the formation of the Players Association, all the owners throughout. It's basically about the owners versus the players and the history of them.
I read a similar
fascinating stuff.
I read a similar book about like the soccer EPL overseas. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting to read all like the background.
Dude, there's so much. I've learned so much. Yep. Like, do either of you have any idea how consequential a figure Robin Roberts is in the history of baseball?
No.
Like, not just a great Philly. Robin Roberts was like the guy who pushed for the Players Association, like the union to start. Yeah. Like, he's like the guy who like pushed for it.
Wow.
Marvin Miller then comes along. Anyway, do you know who Roy Hoffines is?
No.
He should be your hero.
I'm going to say Holiday.
Here, I'll ask you another question first. Do you guys know why AstroTurf is called AstroTurf?
Did Astros start it?
Yes!
That was a pretty easy
Astrodome,
one, but it is crazy.
The
yeah.
first dome, Roy Hoffines. The guy who created the first dome. The Astrodome was the first dome.
That should be my guy.
Roy Hoffines. That's your guy. No, he's dead. Long dead. But yeah, I know.
I could have had him on the pod.
It is fascinating to hear like some of these guys. Like so this guy, Charles Finley, was the owner of the Athletics for years and years and years in Kansas City, moved to Oakland, whatever. He wanted a pitch clock back in like the 50s. He was like, we got to speed this game up. He was like, there's all kinds of like fascinating stuff like
that. Golden bat rule.
Probably not.
Seems like he'd be in.
I don't think anyone likes it. Well, he did like golden bats. Like, he wanted players to use like colorful stuff.
He would like the golden bat rule.
He liked golden balls.
Orange and baseball?
Huh?
Didn't he invent the orange
He's
baseball?
He's the orange baseball guy, Charles.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah. There's so much fascinating stuff. Anyway, if you like baseball, history of baseball, like, unbelievable book. I'm only about halfway through, but Lords of the Realm is absolutely phenomenal. Couldn't recommend it.
So, 20 seconds.
Yeah.
The Oren Kerkring play. I know you were trying to think of
Could
a name.
Did you call him Orion?
Sorry. Okay, Orion.
We're years into this. You called him.
I know,
Orin,
I know, but it just reads like Orin to me. But whatever.
Why? There's
I know. I'm wrong.
There.
I am wrong. Okay. I'm just okay. The Kerkring play.
Yeah,
I know you're trying to think of a name for it.
Orion's boner.
I love the idea behind it. I think the logic's phenomenal. Uh-huh. I just don't think it can be boner in the word.
Well, that's what Merkel's boner. It's like one of the most famous plays in baseball history.
I don't think you can have boner in there.
Yeah, we can. You're allowed to say boner.
I'm not disagreeing it. I'm just saying. Everyone's going to hear it and be like, boner.
I think people know that it's boner is a phrase for like a dumb thing that someone does. Oh, what a boner. Idiot.
I think people think of something else when they think of a boner.
What? This guy. He thought I was asking. Really, he's like,
I don't think you can pick it. Now, if his name's Orion, maybe you could do something like Orion's fault. Or Orion's
Orion's boner is better. I appreciate you attempting.
It just can't be the boner. I don't know what to tell you.
I think it's the boner.
It's not going to catch on.
Boner.
It's not going to catch on.
I think it will. I think it's going to always be known.
I think it's a phenomenal idea. The logic was good. I enjoyed listening to you talk about why it would make sense, but you just can't pick Orion's boner.
Okay. I appreciate the insight.
I don't know if that needed earmuffs, but
no, it didn't. Usually you could say these things.
Well, I don't know if everyone listening knows. Like, imagine having explained that. Imagine you're in the car with your kid and he's like, why is he talking about boner?
Because a boner is a mistake that people make. I just explained it.
But that's
what
not,
a boner.
I don't think that's what the most of the population would think about when they hear that word.
Well, what would they think about? I don't know what you're talking about.
something else.
All right, we're good.
Yes,
very, very good. Yeah. All right, we'll be back later in the week. Picks pod more. Sorry, 1-3 normal show. All the good stuff is we need. Elliot's point. We'll get you set for a really big game in Minnesota. We need the Eagles to show up. Until yes. then, he's Adam James.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.